He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarca. This is Car Keys.
Okay. Everybody who likes Jeeps, the Gladiator is on its way shortly to dealers.
What is it?
Shortly,
Gladiator?
Maybe early next year. Well, it's going to be a Wrangler with a pickup bed in the back. There's a picture of it for you to look at.
Didn't they do this already?
It over the air.
It looks like a Ranchero or something.
And, well, I don't know about
that. Ridiculous. There was a car. Oh, I know.
Anyways,
it was.
It's on its way.
It was the Camino Real, and it was 50 years ago, and it was ugly.
We started off well on this show, everybody. Anyways, it's going to be basically a version of the four-door Wrangler, probably with a short bed pickup bed.
So when you take the roof off a Wrangler, you have a, what is it called?
A convertible.
Convertible.
Sorry. No.
But it's going to have a folding windshield like the Wrangler. It's going to have removable door, side doors like the Wrangler. So, and then it'll have the pickup bed for whatever goes in a pickup bed. That probably looks in the picture like it's 4 feet long.
What's going to hold it in
the
pickup bed?
It's probably 5 feet long.
It's unclear. You know what?
It's going to all fall out.
It's sort of like a big, it looks very much like a big ATV.
Okay. That's one person's on this show's version of observation of what the Gladiator is going to look at. Pictures are now available online for Jeep people who want to go find it. Of what is probably the accurate production depiction of this vehicle. There have been a lot of hidden sort of shots, hidden shots meaning they've been covered up with camouflage and that, so you couldn't really see what it was going to look like. But uncovered shots are now available. We'll see what everybody thinks about it when it gets there. It may or may not be as practical as the standard pickup trucks of Ford, Rams, and Chevys, and GMCs that are out there, and Tundras that are out there. But it's going to be another notch in the Jeep belt of trying to satisfy everybody and anybody who's ever had an old-fashioned Jeep. And there are vehicles like this on Nantucket probably back in the 1950s when I think that was the last era that the Jeep pickup was in the
Back to the future.
I did see a new Grand Cherokee up close and personal, and it looked very daunting.
A new Grand Cherokee?
Yeah.
When that happened?
I don't know. They're
still
eight
years
a good
old.
Vehicle that's 8 years old as far as the frame and the platform.
Yeah, I mean,
which
it might
built,
be, but the
but it's a very
front
good
is...
economical. Well, they've got different front ends for different models.
All right, so it was a model that I had not seen. But it was very, very Hummer-esque.
Okay, we've done Jeep.
He was
tailgating. Let's move on to diesel limitations that are popping up in Europe, and this doesn't bode well for diesel lovers like my co-host here, Jay DeMarkin, and others like him. But Europe is clamping down on diesel use as a diesel ban, and I believe. A relative of Jay's has been forced to rid herself of a diesel vehicle she owned and buy a gas-only vehicle because she lives in a city that's had a partial or total ban on diesel
Brussels.
Engine use. Brussels.
So it's not just Germany. It's other
South.
Others.
It's
yeah,
other
Merck
European said. Countries. France yeah. will not be too far behind, probably.
And having said that, I want to point out that if you are in love with diesels, you can go out now and
get very good buys on them.
You can get very good buys on them.
EC or not? Mm-hmm. Here or
yes, right okay. here. I was looking at the vehicle I have. I can go back and duplicate my car a year newer, get a 2016 with anywhere from 0 miles to 20,000 miles, sold as either new or certified pre-owned, with a 120,000 mile warranty, and you get a vehicle that can tow 5,000 or 7,000 pounds, and it goes. Well,
gets 30 miles to
and
gallon
it gets
all
reasonably
day long.
27, 28 miles okay. a gallon all day long. Anyway, you got to love the diesel if you believe in it. They're out there.
In the what price range?
You are looking
30
for
to 50?
30 to 50. A brand new one would be 50. And right. you can
and
get
a certified pre-owned would be in the 30s probably.
You can get a certified pre-owned with 20,000 miles for 34,000 or something like that.
Now, these pre-owned certified VWs and Audis and Porsches that had diesel engines in them are engines that have been modified, that were modifiable and therefore have been modified to work properly, allegedly, by Volkswagen Corp. And did not have to be, and are now back for sale on in VW and Porsche and Audi dealerships throughout the country. I don't believe any states have actually banned diesel use, and therefore they are certainly buyable if you are interested. The problem we have, or at least I've had with diesel, aside from the love of my diesel Jetta wagon, which I got purchased back from me by VW, is that Connecticut diesel prices are so much higher than the gasoline when gas is down, which they're going down now.
Hold on for a second, though.
Okay.
This is true. A diesel is more expensive than regular gas. But if you're driving a luxury SUV that runs on premium gas only, you know, Mercedes, Audi, BMW, you're not paying $260, $270 a gallon.
Correct.
You're paying $340, $360, crazy
correct.
Prices.
You are
and,
correct.
And if you are paying crazy, is it just Connecticut or
no?
Over the line?
I don't know what. No, okay. it's the northeastern states seem to be out Midwest. Diesel is very often at the same price regular grade, or at least it was the last time I was out there, and or less than regular grade gasoline. But also out west, you can get regular grade gas without any ethanol in it, which is wonderful for
I know
old
I was
cars.
Last time I was going through the Midwest, I stared at the in the gas station at the
disbelief.
Pumps. I just didn't know which one to choose. I'm like, what is this?
Now, out here in New York State, for example, there's up near the Canadian border, there's a station that sells unleaded gasoline, 100% gas without any ethanol, but it's a higher price than the ethanol brand. I mean, it's probably because it's in low volume, and they have to, and they can't, and it's, there's not a lot of competition, not a lot of stations do what this particular station did, but it was off the Northway near the border, and you know, it was a 100% gasoline with no ethanol in it. So
we have an interesting local situation, which I'm sure that you're both aware of.
I want to get to that local situation.
Right,
we're being held up price-wise in the local Northwest Connecticut corner. I don't know what your thing is. We'll get to you in a moment, Jill. But
no gas stations.
No gas stations?
Between Canaan and New Milford, there isn't an open gas station.
Sharon. I have noted that your comment is that if you avoid going by Sharon.
Yes, if you don't go to Sharon.
Lakeville's closed, but Sharon is usually open, at least till 11 o'clock at night. I don't know about
beyond that.
But
the point is, if you are coming up Route 7 and you're a regular person, you cannot buy gas between New Milford and Canaan. In an outburst of absolute coordination, all of the places, there's no – go down. And so it's telling because I don't know how – I know that towns were designed to be 5 miles apart by ox cart. I don't know how gas stations were
I think
placed.
We've got a personnel hiring problem or pay scale problem that is causing some of this issue. That's a hunch.
Tanks.
I do not know why.
Tanks.
What?
Tanks. I mean, I know in Falls Village it was the tanks. They were just ancient and no one could.
No, because I don't find that your statement is necessary. I haven't driven that corridor 7 in nighttime to agree totally with you, but I know Kent's got brand new pumps and tanks going in. Lakeville got redone, and you better just come up with a full tank of fuel in your car then, if that's what you're basically saying.
No, what I'm saying is how many years of automotive transportation have you had a situation where it's 25 miles between?
Well,
gas
we had. I think we had more gas stations before. I mean, I remember as a kid, there was a gas station in Taconic.
Right.
Taconic. Anybody ever been to Taconic?
Yes.
And I mean, you.
Well, there used to be gas stations in last century, in two in Salisbury. Right behind the White Hart Inn was a Sunoco station because I got my gasoline to mow my parents' lawn right down there. I'd walk down with my gallon jug when you could carry it in a gasoline jug and fill it up for the lawnmower. And there was also an Oldsmobile dealership in for the historians who might be listening to this show, on Route 41 where the Salisbury Ambulance Center is now.
Yep.
And that was, I believe there were pumps there at one time as well. But so, yes, there were a lot more gas stations in yesteryear, yestercentury, last
century.
This is a gas
station statement as much as it is.
And they were open. I don't know if they were open overnight or not, but because there wasn't as much driving going on.
But. Fine, but this is, just in terms of this being car keys, a car key is fill up in Canaan and don't expect to get gas before New Milford.
Well, I'd say try to make it to New Milford because the price of gas is way lower.
It's way better.
way lower in New Milford.
And if you're coming and northbound, you definitely want to refill in New Milford.
Correct.
And there's plenty of opportunities.
Yes. And,
it's my observation now that prices are more varied between gas stations than I've ever seen them. For example, the Cumberland Farms in Millerton, as of this weekend, was $272.9 or $262.9, depending on whether you had the CF card. And down in Armenia, it was $285. And down on Route 22, it was also $291. Mm-hmm. And therefore, for compulsive gas buyers like myself who want to pay as little as possible, I pay attention to those kinds of things. Most people don't. A lot of people wait till the light's on in their gas tank because they haven't looked at their gas gauge until then, and then they just go and fill up. And, of course, these are regular grade prices we talk about when we talk about the low prices because it's anybody's guess what the mid-grade markup and the high-test markup is going to be above that era. Or pricing, but a wholesale club in Waterbury was at $255.9 last week, and everybody else in Waterbury, the main Shell and the main line gas stations were all up in the 280s. So there was a real difference at the wholesale buying club price, which did not happen to continue up at the Tarrington location of the same club, I note, but it was significantly lower than the Tarrington prices. So there is a lot of pricing adjustment going on now as opposed to what I think it was like 2 years ago when you saw pretty much uniform pricing among retailers that were all serviced by the same wholesale delivery supplier.
On another note, more famous people in the news. Well,
yes,
this guy is not dead like Sergio Marchionne, but he certainly is
in trouble.
Automobile executive who has definitely made a difference in the industry and over the last 10 to 15 years, and that's Carlos Ghosn. I don't know if it's gone, but he's certainly gone.
But he's not gone from Renault.
He is not gone from Renault yet, but Carlos Ghosn. What is a French and Brazilian auto executive? He must be about, I don't know, 60 years old or so.
Yeah, just right around there.
He's been around for a while. He came to the head of Nissan first, and then Renault. And Renault took a stake in Nissan and was arguably instrumental in turning Nissan around in the last 10 to 15 years.
And he was vaunted for turning the companies around.
So absolutely.
Unclear, what happened.
I'm not quite sure if he cooked the books or if he
annoyed somebody.
He definitely annoyed somebody, and he's in a 10x5 jail cell in Tokyo. Gets to see his lawyer once a day, and that's about it. And I guess the French government is interfering because he is a French citizen, and he is still the CEO of Renault. He was also the CEO of Mitsubishi, and he's out of there too now.
So he's out of Nissan is.
So he's out,
he's
of,
out of the Japanese.
Yes, correct.
But he is.
He is technically still in charge of Renault, and who knows what's going to happen.
Apparently, Mitsubishi is ousting him as chairman of Mitsubishi, part of that
But in the same
group.
Way that, you know, everybody tends to know each other and what's going on, is this a surprise?
Well, he has little effect on things that most listeners to this show have anything to do with. I mean, we're sort of bringing this up as an interest to people who follow this part of the business. But he's been alleged to have misused his income in ways that were, I don't know what it was. But it's gotten him into a lot of hot trouble. But I don't think the day-to-day people who buy Nissans and they can't buy Renaults here, but they can buy Mitsubishis here, have a clue who Carlos Ghosn is. And so I want to move on unless Jay has one final say about this, because I want to discuss Subarus, which is one of both of our favorite vehicle lines of cars, and they are coming back with a second go round of a hybrid vehicle, this time with a plug-in hybrid, and for their Crosstech vehicle. And Jay thinks it's going to be wonderful. I agree. I think it's going to be wonderful. They call it Star Drive. I can't read the print on this article I wrote to tell anybody on this listens to this show what Star Drive is. But it is a very popular model across Trek, and I think it'll probably be very good. It can go 17 miles on just pure electric power before the gasoline engine kicks in, to run it like the Priuses and the regular non-plug-in hybrids operate.
The previous generation Crosstrek, the 2013 to 17 Crosstrek, had a hybrid
system
variant in the model line, but it was a mild, what we call a mild hybrid. It really didn't do much.
It wasn't particularly economical.
It added cost and really didn't do anything, nor for power, nor for fuel economy, nor for range, and it really was short-lived.
Right. Correct.
This new model seems to be much more of what we think of as hybrid, so it should enhance fuel economy quite a bit. And seeing as Subaru uses pretty much the same platform and the same powertrains across their model line,
they can move this up.
I can see why they started implementing the hybrid in the Crosstrek, which is kind of a young, green, hip vehicle. But we can be sure that we're going to see it across the board. It's going to make its way into the Forester, the Outback, and I'm sure it will make its way into the Ascent as well. I saw the price. I guess it starts at $34,900 or something like that. Well, so around $35,000. So I guess the premium over a non-hybrid is, I'm not quite sure, but probably about $5,000.
The old one was not a whole lot different than the limited version of the old one without the hybrid system, I noted, because I did compare those at
right.
one
well,
point. But it did not, as you said, the old system was not particularly economical above the gasoline-only right. version, so there was not a lot of reason to buy it unless you were just a green person that just had to have the latest technology.
A green person that has money.
Well, a little more money. You know, so we get back to this whole thing of what does a hybrid drivetrain add over the price of a gasoline engine car, and it's sort of voodoo economics because they usually load the hybrid versions up with a lot of standard equipment that is optional on a gasoline-only version. So you really don't know what you're paying.
I have a question.
You had to have more money.
I have a question for you, Robin.
Yes.
What do you know what EV plates have as advantage, if any, in Massachusetts? I know electric vehicles in Massachusetts have special plates that start with an EV or vertical EV.
I do not know what they do. I just know that places are starting to have special parking locations for EV or hybrid vehicles that are advantageously located in shopping centers and that, so you don't have to park way out in the left field and walk a half a mile to the box stores or something.
And hybrid vehicles, I noticed, do get EV plates. So I was wondering, what kind of advantage
they
that
may.
Have?
I don't know
all
whether
hybrids,
they
hybrids, even
plug-in hybrids.
Right. I mean, I would plug-in hybrids, but not.
I don't know.
Don't
you can research
so. I just noticed
that
yesterday. I was on the Mass Pike for more time.
Ever?
Ever.
I haven't noticed that yet because I've been on the Mass Pike recently. So this must be a fairly recent new plate thing. And maybe you get a lower tax. I don't know.
Good
research
question.
It for later comment. Okay.
Aren't you a Massachusetts resident?
No, I'm not a Massachusetts resident.
Oh,
no.
Partial?
No, not partial.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case. And what because we've got a limited amount of time that we want to use wisely and well, what kept you in traffic?
other people, traffic. No, I mean, seriously, I went to Logan Airport and back yesterday, and it took me a little over 4 hours to get there. Spent about 45 minutes in traffic, and as I was mentioning this morning.
What's the expeditious time? 2.5 hours?
No, from Lakeville or Sharon, you're talking about 3 hours.
Okay.
An extra hour?
Yeah.
A good 45 minutes. And the bottlenecks are always the same. They are where, as you are on the Mass Pike, where the Mass Pike, where 90 merges with 84,
yes, that's
and
the
then
plot.
Again 495, and then again 95. So there are two or three spots where you can expect to be slowed down.
Right.
I noticed I was in a way pretty pleasantly surprised with people's behavior, and I don't know what to make of it, but maybe Turkey has a favorable effect. Doesn't make people better drivers or smarter.
But it makes them more serene.
But it makes them maybe more serene, and in that, it makes them a little safer, I guess. I can tell you one thing. It is one instance where I think that driving either a Volvo, an Audi, a Subaru, a Tesla, anything with...
Smart cruise control.
With an adaptive cruise control would have made my life a lot more pleasant for the time I was sitting in traffic. And again, not to reopen a can of worms, I do think that these self-driving aids... Are most useful in these traffic-like situations where, you know, we live out in the country and we don't drive in traffic all that much, but some people do that a couple hours a day. And
L.A.,
New York, I mean, any big city.
Watching Route 684 in the morning clog up after you've gotten off 22 and you've got three rows and before it splits from the Taconic and then 684 split. It is a jam like I have not been aware of for a long time. It's going to set a whole new idea of mine when I go to the auto show in the spring that we better leave earlier because it's really gotten crowded. Speaking of auto show season for 2019 is about to begin with the L.A. Auto Show, which is the first one to occur of the auto show lineup for the coming end of 18-19 season. And there are going to be some debuts of some new models, including the Lincoln Aviator, an Audi Q1 concept, and other things. But it's auto show time. I've gotten a Thanksgiving notice from the New York Auto Show to buy tickets at a discount for the coming season. They want to get an idea of, I guess, how many people are going to come. So there's the usual $2 off the standard price for buying your passes to get to the New York Auto Show.
Are we expecting Chinese manufacturers at the
Well, LA that's going to be a good question because what's the name of this guy? Where is it? You read about it. Chinese automaker Zotye, Z-O-T-Y-E, begins recruiting U.S. dealers, plans to sell a budget crossover. I think the budget crossover is a cheap Jeep version or a lookalike of the Wrangler, but it looked to me in the picture like it was 3/4 or maybe 5/8 the size of a regular Wrangler, but maybe it's going to be the size of the old Suzuki.
I remember them very well. And those Suzukis.
They were tough little boxes.
Yeah, they're making them again. There's a new model coming out. Unfortunately, we will not be getting it in the U.S., but that looks like a really cool little all-wheel.
So it'll be interesting to see. I don't know whether it's set to debut in 2020, so I don't know that it'll make any of the auto shows, but I would guess if it was going to make one of the ones in the lineup, it would either be Detroit and or New York. But the auto show system is changing a bit. There have been a lot of makers who are not going to show up at certain auto shows because they don't think it's worth their expense to do it. And we've discussed this a little bit, Jay, you and I, about whether I think they should keep them going. They shouldn't worry about the expense part, but who knows what's going on in the auto industry right now. I know they're nervous at a lot of levels.
I think you have to promote your wares no matter what. I was delighted to find it completely different in the book publishing industry, which was supposed to just, like, curl its head up and die, that some catalogs are starting to resend catalogs more
They are. I agree.
Deliberately. Yeah. You know, and it's important.
I have a question for listeners as we get ready to close this show. The Silverado pickup, which is a large Chevy and GMC equivalent pickup, is going to have a four-cylinder as a not a base engine, but an optional engine.
Right.
Will anybody who's driving a pickup that's listening to this show buy a pickup truck with a four-cylinder engine? Please chime in by notifying us via the station whether you would like to buy a large size pickup to haul things with a four-cylinder engine, no matter what the advertising campaign will be.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.